And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
So I made a video saying I hate people that can't dunk, and some people took it out of context, saying I hate handicapped people, my mom and dad, and short people. But that's not true. My point was that if you just train plyometrics, you can increase your vertical jump. And if you got anything holding you back from training, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to offend you. But if you don't, then I hate you if you can't dunk.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. I'm J.E. Skeets, here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
New art in the Classic Factory as well, looking good.
Next to Tassy, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo!
Hey, yo! New
right?
cameras in the Classic Factory
well,
as well.
I had to really crane the old Nekaruski there.
Yeah, a lot of changes in the Classic Factory, and the man making it all happen. Over yonder, super producer, JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. What's going on, JDs?
Oh,
new
got
bells
new,
and whistles.
Got a new camera.
Nice.
Got some art. Baseball ended, so it's time to swap that stuff out.
Yeah.
More basketball needed,
more basketball.
For sure.
We might have a couple of new art items coming in.
Nice. Tell us more. Tell us more.
All I'll say is it's F1 related. We're just in the nick of time for the end of the season.
Oh, I know what that is.
I actually do too.
A little bow tie.
maybe.
All right, awesome.
It's not called no butts.
That's right.
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Comment, like, subscribe, and thrive. Go get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Send in your questions and comments always to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us across all the social media channels, Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. And this is big news in the athletic world. They've added two new national writers, Sabrina Merchant and Ben Pickman, who will be focusing on the WNBA and college women's basketball. They join Chantel Jennings and the rest of the athletic staff to expand the coverage of women's basketball, so we'd love to see it. Go grab yourself a TA subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. For an incredible deal, and then follow the Athletics Women's College Hoops and WNBA pages to find all their work. Welcome to the team!
Welcome.
We got a fun one here. Got the up-down report with some great questions for you guys to debate whether you're going to put the thumbs up or thumbs down on, along with everyone playing along on the stream team. But some games recaps here. You know, a light schedule. A couple of the games at first, you were like, eh, I thought, you know, it wasn't the... wasn't the craziest looking slate of games, but we had some entertaining finishes.
Absolutely.
And we'll start in Boston, where Marcus Smart, he helped the Celtics beat the Thunder, who looked just unstoppable for a good chunk of this game and for the last week or so, as Boston wins their seventh straight game. Takeaways from this one.
Seventh straight.
Yeah.
Sort of quiet, and they sort of quietly climbed to the top of the NBA standings here with the top record. It feels right. It feels like the Milwaukee Bucks should be just behind them because the Celtics are coming in this season with the flow of last year, with that momentum, and it was clear in this game. This was a championship-level team that found some inspiration at some point in this game because, yeah, the Thunder are playing well. I will say I'm sure there's some teams that aren't taking the Thunder all that seriously, even still, even though the Thunder are freaking fantastic. And then in the third quarter, the Celtics just needed something. So the guys came off the bench, Peyton Pritchard and Derek White specifically, and started pressing the Thunder. They started getting up all up in the Thunder, and the ball started being turned over because the Celtics just weren't shooting all that well, but they just started turning over the ball, and it went into the fourth quarter, and Marcus Smart started doing it as well. I mean, the turnovers were ridiculous. Smart move by Celtics coach Joe Mazzulla to say, hey, it was on the players. It was on Peyton Pritchard, who's always ready, and Derek White, who made that decision. It wasn't me. I like that. I like that humility. And the Thunder had 13 turnovers over a 12-minute span between the middle of the third and the middle of the fourth. And that's the difference, I think, if you watch this Thunder team. Saturday, we talked about 145 points against the Knicks, allowing 43 in the second quarter. Did the Knicks come out firing the third? No, but a championship team like the Celtics did in terms of playing D. And, yeah, going back to the Knicks game, We played the clip for you of Wally Zerbiak saying, "Oh, Josh Giddey doing whatever he wants in the lane. Giddey. In this game, he was doing whatever he wanted. He was getting in the lane against the Celtics defense that has been struggling this season. But then they turned him over. He had 7 turnovers in the second half or throughout the game when they decided to turn it up a little bit. So this was just a championship type victory where the shots were falling. There's some odd possessions. It kind of looked like the beginning of the season last year to me. But Marcus Smart shut everybody up last year. This guy is the point guard for a team that went to the NBA Finals, and he shut up everybody yesterday. I thought he was phenomenal in that fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah, he came through with the big-time clutch shots. He hit a deep two. His toes were on the line in the corner there to extend Boston's lead to 3 with about 3 minutes to go. Then after OKC tied it back up, Smart drilled a huge three-pointer with about 2 minutes left. Sort of a lucky play where Tatum was spinning and lost the ball, and it went right to Smart, but he was ready, and he knocked down that three. And then 40 seconds left, he delivered the dagger, basically, where he spun on SGA, got into the lane, finished a tough left-hand layup, and that put the Celtics up 5. So his final line, 22 points, 8 assists, 5 boards, and a block. He was pretty instrumental in this victory, along with Tatum and Brown getting their points and Pritchard and Derek White helping. But Smart was sort of the hero in this game, TK.
10 points in the fourth quarter, 4 of 4 from the field, 4 assists. He was literally everywhere. And shout out to Jason Tatum and Joe Mazzulla for kind of letting Marcus Smart cook, right? Like, on a night when he has the shot going, you should probably let him shoot as many times as he wants to, because he is a streaky player, which can be bad when he's off. Mm-hmm. But it's great news when he's on. I thought this was a flip-the-switch kind of victory, though, for the Celtics. One of the first games that they won strictly by playing defense, and it really was. Pritchard, to me, was the game changer. He came in, and from that point on, the Celtics forced 15 turnovers. 12 turnovers in the last 18 minutes of the game. 15 points off those turnovers, 9 on fast breaks. The Celtics aren't always a great offensive team in the half court, but when you're able to get runouts like that, it really, really changes things. So I thought that was just great stuff from the Celtics to, you know, finally win a game with their defense here, which is kind of what we were used to at the end of last season.
Yeah, it's nice to have a third point guard that comes in and gives everything he's got, because he's lost his spot with Malcolm Brogdon being the backup point guard, along with Derek White sort of being that secondary shooting guard. He doesn't necessarily play, but with Malcolm Brogdon out, he got lots of time, and that's a great locker room when you got number 3 on the point guard depth chart, or, you know, 14th on the chart depth chart, come in and really change the game. He really gave them a victory along with Derek White. And yeah, Marcus Smart just went off, and apparently Blake Griffin, another guy who's deep on the bench, DNP, got in Marcus Smart's ear and said, "Just keep shooting, man. Keep shooting. These are the games that we need you to just fire away," because everything was clanking. It was an odd game watching them offensively, but then Smart, yeah. The Smart heat checks they're fun. They're fun when they happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this fair to say, like, this is like a good win for the Thunder? It was a back-to-back situation. They're putting a good loss, thank you. Putting up a fight, of course, against a very talented Celtics team. They were in it. They were dominating this game for a good chunk of it. But they, you know, lose in the end. But, you know, who cares? SGA pretty special. Giddey had moments. Dort had a decent game. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say. Yeah. I think there's so many contributors on that side. You know, Aaron Wiggins playing defense, all their Williams is out there playing. Pokuševski looks like an NBA player out there, just getting after it on the offensive glass. I think it's fair to say I'm okay with those terms.
Yeah.
A moral victory. Yeah, I'm fine with it for the kids. Yeah.
Do you think they should go get 2 more Williams to add to the all five? I mean, I guess they'd have to make a move for Time Lord.
I mean, Williams has got to be one of the easiest names to find in the NBA. I would have to imagine. Didn't the New Jersey Nets have 5 Williams at one point, early in the 2010s?
Wow. It wasn't 5. They had
Darren.
Yeah.
They had Sean with an E.
Yeah. Marcus.
Marcus,
yeah. Earlier they had.
I was trying to think of that famous lots of Williams team. From
I think
back
you
in
may
the days.
You may be think you may be combining even earlier era when they had Aaron Williams. Center, 6'9" center, and then they had Eric Williams for a quick time. Both those guys traded for Vince Carter. What a mistake.
Terrence Williams. They had Terrence Williams. That's another Williams that was in the mix.
Jesus. They didn't have an all 5-E, did they?
I don't know.
Not at once.
There was a team that had a sick amount of. Okay, here you go. 4 Williamses
here,
okay. Right here on the New Jersey Nets 2011-12. Somebody's got to break the record. Yeah. Go for all 5.
So what 4 were on that team?
Darren, Jordan, Sean, and Sheldon.
Oh my God, Sheldon.
Sheldon.
Landlord.
I don't remember Sheldon Williams on the New Jersey Nets, but cool.
Okay. Well, they could do it. If you want to, Presti, go make some history here. Go get a couple more Williams on the
Lou's roster. Available.
Lou, sure.
That's a free agent. Yeah. Pick him up.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun game. Go check the highlights, Thunder Celtics. Let's keep it going here. Bam Adebayo scores 30 as the Heat storm back to stun the Suns. 113-112. Huge play at the end of this game with Jimmy Butler just locking up Devin Booker's jump shot. That was cool. Like, that was a cool amazing moment.
A blocked mid-range jumper.
That was awesome.
That was very weird.
And totally clean. Like, not
totally
a foul
clean
at all. Yeah.
Yeah, and he almost, like, I feel like Booker could have got the shot away. He held on to it too long and gave Jimmy a chance to actually get his hand on it. But that's kind of how I figured out that young people are calling defense clamps these days, huh? That seemed to be the number one thing going around. Jimmy clamps Devin Booker. I love it to see him clamping each other. But Bam was the guy to me. This was the best Bam game I've seen yet this season. He was so aggressive in transition. He had 8 fast break points. He had a couple of just miracle and ones where he, he shot the ball basically over the backboard and it somehow swishes in. But I thought he did such a good job helping Miami really control the pace out there. And just certainly the Heat took advantage of no Chris Paul. It wasn't a high turnover game for the Suns, but having Chris Paul out there as your floor general and keeping things calm certainly would have helped. But man, when you get the Bam who is putting the ball on the floor, trying to get to the hoop and just living in the lane, it is so much better for the Heat.
He was the difference after that wild Devin Booker three, about a minute 20 left, which was beautiful to give the Suns the lead. The Heat ran an ugly play, and we know Heat half-court offense can be ugly. Mm-hmm. Kyle Lowry didn't get them into a good set. He kind of threw it up, and Bam Adebayo, he bailed out the team with a putback dunk. Earlier on, he had that amazing, amazing coast-to-coast. I'm pretty sure it was coast-to-coast where he brought it up, and Devin Booker went for the swipe. Bam Adebayo got the spin move going for a huge guy at the three-point line, the spin, and then another and one. He had it all going. I know we'll get to the Giannis quote a little bit later on of guys he would pick international versus U.S. team, and he had Bam on the U.S. team. He is just I bring that up because he is often overlooked, not by a guy like Giannis who has to go play him, go up against him, but by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think you see the whole package sometimes, and he does have it. The half-court sets with the Heat are the problem. And if Bam can be a little bit more, put it on the floor, make things happen, run it through him, which should happen, then they'll be great. Can do it, but you don't see it often enough. So sometimes these Heat games are ugly, but Jimmy is saving the day. Come on.
That was
amazing.
Awesome. I loved it, too, because the Phoenix had basically, well, like 2.5, if you want to call it that, but 3 shots to win on this final possession. Because Campaign, he attacked, he got inside, he misses the layup. Ayton grabs the rebound and then gives it to Booker. And then there's this great, like, reset in the arena where everyone's like, okay, 1-point game. Booker's got the ball here. We're not calling a timeout. I don't even know if they had one to call. And Butler, obviously, on him. And it's like, all right, one-on-one. Let's see what happens. And just incredibly played, just shutting him down at the right elbow. But then he blocks him. Booker has, like, the wherewithal to grab the ball and, you know, took a wild shot. He had just hit one about 90 seconds prior. It wasn't that far off. You know Devin Booker can hit that type of shot. But Butler was right there, still challenging. So 3 chances at the end. Yeah, is it a little different if Chris Paul is in there maybe running it instead of Campaign? Possibly. They should have won this game, though. I mean, they were up, like, was it 12 or 13 points with about 6 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And then the Heat went on this crazy, crazy run. But really, really fun ending. And, again, the clamps, the lockdown, the shutdown, the elimination, I'm trying to think of other words we can describe Jimmy Butler blocking Booker there.
So good.
Yeah, I mean,
so
of course good. They're hating in this stream team.
What are they hating on?
I said, kids are saying clamps these days. They said, we've been saying clamps forever. All I'm saying is we used to say lockdown, man. We used to lock people down, okay? A lock is much more secure than a clamp.
Hate
that's
to go- true.
Yeah, it's 100% true. Yeah. You can take a clamp off very easily. Mm. You need a key or a combination to take off a lock.
Pierre says vice grips better than clamps, too. Yeah, sure.
I hate to go all English, but what's changed is that it's gone from a noun to a verb. Like, he clamps him.
Okay,
It used to be clamps.
That's true.
Like, he's got the clamps on him. Now he clamps him down. Now that's different. Mm. So, anyways, to see Jimmy Butler just jump into Devin Booker's body at the exact right time to just, you know, give Devin Booker just a tiny bit of pushback. That was amazing. One-on-one defense. No one around. That was amazing.
That was cool.
It was
very cool.
It was. He is phenomenal, Jimmy Butler, at, like, staying as close as possible to a guy on a three-point attempt or on a jumper like we saw last night and not foul. Like, he, I don't know if it's his like core strength or whatever it is, or all those Michelob Ultras he's taken down on the plane or what, but it's just like to stop his momentum to going into the shooter. It's very difficult to do, and obviously that's just to go sort of straight up but be like an inch from him, which he was last night. So hell of a play. Moving on here, Hunter and Young lead the Hawks. Ka-ka! Past Giannis, who did play, and the Bucks, 121-106. Atlanta has now beaten Milwaukee twice here. Now, no Middleton still, no Drew Holiday in this one, but a good win here from Atlanta. I thought, you know, everybody contributing for this team.
Yeah, first time they beat him in Milwaukee in a long time, right. So good for them on that front. This was didn't feel like a Hawks win because it was a wire-to-wire win, essentially. This was a game they won all four quarters, and everyone just playing well. The rotation's nice. Clint Capella looking like a monster. I loved A.J. Griffin coming off the bench for the Atlanta Hawks. We'll get to a Bojan Bogdanović trade rumor a little later on. I think Bogdan Bogdanović has got to be in some trade rumors because it feels like A.J. Griffin is... He's a 19-year-old playing like a 48-year-old. He just knows what he's doing.
He got minutes last night, you're right. 17 minutes, and Justin Holiday DMP CD there from Nate McMillan.
Yeah, I don't see Bogdan Bogdanović getting his option picked up for next year. It doesn't really make sense with how much money they're putting into DeAndre Hunter, obviously Trey. You got to sign DeJounte Murray. You just gave up a billion picks for him. So it doesn't make sense, I don't think, Bogdan Bogdanović to come back. When you've got A.J. Griffin, who a 19-year-old looked like that, I think was, it was phenomenal. You got some good Aaron Holiday minutes. Just the rotation, it just doesn't feel like a Hawks win when it's that steady. That was, I think, their best win.
Yeah,
of the
usually because it feels like you need Trae Young to go for 40 or something like that, and he hasn't had to. And 21-9, but Capella looked awesome last night.
He did.
One of the best games I've seen from him this year. 19-9, fantastic interior defense. You know, he's done a great job against the Bucks when he's healthy and engaged, and he just knows what to play his part on this team. They're pretty solid, and Hunter got to the line a ton and shoot the ball out well from the floor.
Career high, 10 free throws.
Right,
that was a lot of free throws.
24 points overall. And Giannis, I mean, talked about it after the game, a little rusty. You know, he came back after missing some time here. 8 of 21, he missed all of his threes. Sort of struggled at the free throw line even. And so maybe that's just all it was, just rounding back into to form here. But good Hawks win, TK. And they're playing solid here. It's oddly working.
Don't look now, Skeets. Do not look now because I think it'll change, but the Hawks defense is up to sixth right now.
Jesus.
They beat the Bucks twice and the Sixers once in a week. They forced a ton of turnovers, and that's the way they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to be like the Timberwolves from last season, just getting in passing lanes and hoping Capella can help hold up. He's definitely seems to have turned the corner a little bit here. He's been playing pretty well over the last week and a half or so, but the Bucks offense is just struggling big time without Middleton and Holiday. They turn the ball over all the time right now. I think part of the reason Giannis is he had a ton of turnovers, and, you know, the shooting is tougher because there's nobody setting him up. He's not necessarily the guy that you want bringing the ball up the court and trying to go about scoring. They're playing Javon Carter, not a huge offensive player. Marjon Beauchamp, a rookie, so understandable. But the offense really is struggling right now. They're going to have to get one of these guards back eventually, and then once they do, the Bucks will look like the Bucks again. But, man, that's a great win for the Hawks. They didn't shoot the ball super well.
No.
It was more of a defensive win against a really good team, even though Milwaukee is certainly struggling.
Yeah. A crazy sort of cherry-picked stat here, but it caught me by surprise. Justin Kubaku of Statitudes. Young and Murray have each recorded at least 300 points and 100 assists this season, so they're backcourt duo. First duo in NBA history to reach those marks through the team's first 14 games. That's obviously the handpicked part, but like, that caught me by surprise. It is working really well, this Trae Young and Murray backcourt, despite Trae Young not having a really good season as far as he's concerned. And Murray's been, I think, really solid, and he's been doing what they were hoping he was going to, which was give him a little bit more of a defensive identity and still operating both on and off the ball. But, I mean, the wins are there. They're playing defense, like Trey said. And I think Young's going to he's gonna have a stretch where he goes off for like 2.5 weeks. You know that's coming. Mm-hmm. So this is really good for Atlanta.
Yeah, is it as simple as Trey doesn't dominate the ball as much and everybody benefits? Everybody benefits even offensively and defensively, where everybody's sort of more involved. Everybody touches. The feet are working on the offensive end and the defensive end. It sure feels that way, and Trey is still getting used to the whole thing. But the wins are what everybody wants. In that room, and that's what Trey wants as well. So 9-5 to be sitting there, Yeah, everybody's got to be super duper happy. It was obviously a shorthanded Bucks team, but I think it was their best win of the season to be able to handle them that way. Yeah, it's unfortunate. We only got two of the three holidays, but yeah, Drew would definitely reduce. Actually, no, we didn't have two or three holidays because Justin didn't play.
No, he didn't play.
True. He was there. He was on the bench. But he would reduce, yeah, all the turnovers, plus Pat Connaughton wasn't playing, plus Wesley Matthews went out, plus Grayson Allen went out in this game. So, yeah, the Bucks sitting at 10-3, they're fine. They're totally
Speaking
fine.
Speaking of shorthanded, let's get to the Raptors-Pistons game. Raps without Siakam, without Van Vliet, without Gary Trent Jr., they lose Otto Porter Jr. There's no Precious Achiuwa. Should have thrown him in there. No Cade Cunningham for the Pistons. So a lot of guys missing in this one. But the Raptors, they finally snap a six-game losing streak to the Pistons. They win the KC Cup in Detroit with a bunch of Raptors fans in attendance. And they were led tasked by Delano Banton and Chris Boucher, who were the stars for the Raps in this one.
I can't get over how well Raptors fans travel. I'll never get over it. I know it's not
It's cheaper far. For them to go to the games in Detroit than it probably is for them to go to a game in Toronto.
You are 100% right. That is totally true. It's the prices are high in Toronto, but I'm not sure about the Pistons prices, but I assume they're lower. They're lower. It's a quick four-hour drive. It's all about the stop at the border. How long does that take you to get across the border? But yeah, it's super close. And Delano Banton, it felt like he had home court fans out there cheering him on. That was his best game as a Toronto Raptor. Second round pick just last year. Here he is, year number two. What position does he play? Quite often, Nick Nurse has been pushing him to be a point guard, and he got minutes, you know, with the Raptors 905 to be that point guard. He feels so much better coming off the ball when he doesn't have to do as much stuff. He can, you know, make plays within the half court. He can obviously make plays in transition, but I just look at him as a guy coming off the ball, off pins, and hitting shots.
But you have to be able to hit shots if you're going to be off the ball, and that's where he has struggled in his NBA career, but not last night. This was the best he shot the ball. 27 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and hit some threes. This was by far his best game as a pro.
I feel like it's easier to just make shots when you don't have to handle the ball. You don't have that much pressure running an NBA offense, and I think it's just simplified for him to be able to do that. I had some flashbacks of Zach LaVine in 2014, 2015 when he was a rook, and they were trying to push him as the point guard. Sam Mitchell said, "You're a point guard," and it just didn't go well at all. Some guys are just better off the ball, and you're right. He has to make shots to be able to have that label of being a wing and not just being a creator, but it's like a positionless basketball with the Raps. Nick Nurse wants everybody to do everything, essentially, and in this instance, we saw Delano Banton just, he caught fire, essentially. That was an amazing game for him.
Yeah, this was a guys being dudes win. 11 Raptors played. These injuries that they have to three of their top six at this point might unearth somebody, because Boucher, I thought, was incredible. He's been good ever since. He had a stinker not too long ago, had a two-point game, then 20, 19, and 20. He needs to play well from off the bench for them to have a bench, really. Wancho, I thought, had an impact on the glass and kind of flying around, and Malachi Flynn was scoring, and now there's a guy named Jeff that plays for the Raptors. Jeff Doughton Jr. What?
Doughton Abbey.
Jeff Doughton Abbey.
Nurse put him in late in the game to, like, get a defensive stop on Ivy, who was cooking. I mean, Flynn hit some threes, but he gives everything back on the other hand. Guy can't stop anybody. But, holy crap, for Nurse to put Doughton Jr. in and say, all right, stay in front of him. And he blocked his ass and then somehow popped the ball back in and kept it in. That was like the huge defensive play. They were up three, so who knows? You know, it had to been an and one, because Ivy was playing really well down the stretch, like going downhill. He's unstoppable, but a hell of a call from Nurse. This was a classic Nick Nurse game where he's like, I'm trying lineups we've never even thought of before. We're going to give this guy, we're going to put him off the ball. We're going to operate with Thad Young like he's Marc Gasol 2.0. At the top, you cut back door, he'll find you. And they got it done. And they never win in Detroit. They never beat Casey and the Pistons, despite who's playing. But that was a good Raps win. They needed it, too. Let's be honest. Like, after dropping two in a row to the Thunder and the Pacers, you got all these guys out of the lineup, but you got to get a W here against a team in the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings.
Yeah, everybody's a 500 team, seemingly, in the NBA. The Raps should be better than 500 team, so they pulled one game away from 500 in this one. It was clear to me that Scottie Barnes isn't 100%. I know we talk about Scottie all the time, setting up the offense. that was all on OG Anunoby, and his offensive game suffered because of it. Mm-hmm. His shooting suffered because of it. Then they gave it to Thad with some amazing plays, as you said, Marc Gasol 2.0. You get in the high post, that beautiful pass to Wancho. The give and go from Wancho. That was Bo cruising in the lane there. That was amazing. I just, back to Scotty, I think he's got some banged up. Some, you know, yep. I think he's not 100% watching him out there, but the Raps are not 100%, and you're right. Nick Nurse felt he was probably back in the BBL, the British Basketball League, just making things
happen. The Pistons debuted their green jerseys, designed to pay tribute to the, I guess, the mats on the walls of the gym at St. Cecilia's Church in Detroit, a famous famous church/gym that started in the 60s. What do you think of the look? Or those City Edition jerseys in general?
I thought they looked like the Dallas Mavericks.
They do. They do, but I really like them.
Yeah, I like the Mavericks ones.
Yeah, I like the little three stars above the D there in Detroit. Like, I guess they went with the more blue court around the edges of the floor. Mavericks, like, no doubt. Yep. I saw people comparing it to Vernon's ginger ale last night too. Or Schweppes.
Classic.
I mean, you know,
it does have a ginger
ale. It does. It really does.
The dark green with the kind of
sweaty. But I do like it, but yeah, it's not the normal colors is the thing.
I'm with you. Yeah, looking at them, I kind of like
them. I like them, yeah.
But it is weird. Listen, we talked about some teams going way away. We talked about the Washington Wizards wearing pink. That ain't part of their color palette.
But the issue I think Trey's bringing up is there's not another team really wearing pink.
That's true.
So it's like this green is very similar to greens that are already in the NBA. That's the one part.
That's 100% true.
But I like them.
But it gives the opportunity for the broadcasters to say St. Cecilia in different towns around Detroit. Sure. Which
apparently
is
somebody
fun.
Met Magic Johnson there. I heard that on the broadcast.
There you go.
This guy did. Don't know who it was.
I think it was Kessler. Pistons color commentator.
Yeah, I think you're right. I didn't hear that.
There's another Williams on the Raptors broadcast. Alvin Williams. Yeah.
Sign him up.
Yeah. All right, so fun win there from the Raps. Three other games. I'm going to chuck them at you because they were all sort of the blowout variety. Hornets stopped an 8-game slide with the 112-105 win against the Magic. LaMelo Ball playing all right in that one. Paul George scored 22 to lead the Clippers to a 122-106 blowout win over the Rockets. I'm not even sure he had to play in the fourth quarter. And Jordan Poole scored 36 on bobblehead night. They're still doing bobbleheads. That's still a thing. That blew my mind. I was like, all right.
Yeah, Trey got mad at me that I didn't get him, who was it?
Acuña.
Acuña bobblehead.
Oh, man.
A couple months ago.
Yeah, the baseball game. Anyway, the Warriors just crushed the Spurs. I mean, look, they're dominant at home. They can't win on the road, but Jordan Poole on bobblehead night, big, big win. Any thoughts on those three?
It was a pool bobblehead night. Can I confirm?
Okay. Yeah, it was a pool party bobblehead night. Here it is.
Hey.
We have the picture.
Unfortunately sponsored by
FTX.
FTX.
I think it's their last promotional activity I saw in the tweet streets.
I think they should have just like snapped that little part off there. But anyway, yeah, pretty special. Look at like a...
Is he doing a cannonball?
Yeah, I think he is, Trey. TK, you
okay,
got to get
I like
this.
These now.
Yeah.
Oh, a big bobblehead guy.
Until you said that, I didn't notice he was doing a cannonball.
Legs tucked,
yep.
For sure.
Yep.
Okay, that's funny.
So anyway, he dominated on his bobblehead night. But any thoughts?
And he started on his bobblehead night. A lot of times with these bobblehead promotions, a guy's in the minor league. I'm going baseball. Ian Anderson had one with the Braves.
What?
He was in the minor leagues.
Why would he have one?
He was a key player to the World Series victory the season
before. Right.
But a lot of the times, the guy's hurt, right?
Yeah.
We had Latvian Heritage night the other night, and Chris Sapp's Porzingis didn't play. Jordan Poole.
Or Bertans.
Jordan Poole went into the starting lineup and balled and with this 36-point game. I think the key that I take away from that game is James Wiseman is going to the G League.
Mm, yeah.
And will be working on his trade down there. And he's got a guy in Jordan Poole to say to him, hey, this isn't a demotion. I was there. I got better. I came back up. And they're going to be running a lot of, hey, you get the ball up top in your Draymond Green sort of role and find guys type of roles instead of just the pick and rolls that you like to eat on. That's James Wiseman's game, so he's got to expand his game. So that's what I take.
You think
from,
that move is
that
to
one.
Build his confidence up more than anything?
Yeah.
Because these guys at his level should go down there and dominate.
Yeah.
Like Delano Banton dominates the G League when he plays down there.
Everybody does. And learn the plays and get every shot he wants, 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that? Wiseman going to the G League or any of those games?
I think it's smart because Steve Kerr has said just recently, like, these young guys need a chance to make mistakes, and we're a team that can't afford to have guys out here making mistakes right now. So certainly Wiseman needs to go and step his game up a little bit in the G League. I will say it will be concerning if he does not dominate in the G League.
Yes.
If that is not the case, then this could be an experiment that goes poorly, because I think part of it is probably beefing up his trade value a little bit as well, in case the Warriors want to make some sort of move come trade deadline time. So it'll be interesting to see if he what kind of stuff he does, because I don't know if he's a passer from the high post. Haven't seen that at all in his game so far. So if they're putting him in the Draymond role, seems strange to me.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fair point. He's got some game, but we'll see what he can expand on. You know, on the bench side, like, he will be a roller when he comes back. But he's got to be able to pass. Mm-hmm. This is the Warriors we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's take our first break. When we come back, we're going to get into the up-down report with some great questions. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, back in the Classic Factory, drop your smart sorbs in the stream team. You guys feeling restored, though? Ready?
Yeah.
Good? Let's do the up-down report.
Prepare your tubis. It's the up-down report.
Yeah! The up-down report. I'm going to throw something at you guys. You're going to tell me whether you're up on it or down on it. First one, this is a fun one on a recent episode of How Hungry Are You? Remember that show? Serge Ibaka? His YouTube series? Well, he had Giannis on. Had his teammate on. And asked him to name his starting fives consisting of international players and then American players. Here's who the freak went with internationally. Point guard, Luka. Shooting guard, Evan Fournier. Okay. Small forward, Giannis himself. Power forward, Jokic. And center, Embiid. Big, big team. The USA team that Giannis named. Point guard, Steph Curry. Shooting guard, Klay Thompson. Small forward, LeBron. Power forward, Durant. And at center, as Tass mentioned earlier in this podcast, Bam Adebayo at the center position for Team USA. So my question off of this one for you guys, and for everybody in the stream team, everybody listening later, up or down on Giannis's shooting guard selections with Fournier and Klay Thompson as his two guys? Trey, you go first. Up or down?
I'm going to go down.
Okay.
But I'm also going to kind of go up because maybe, I don't know, two very funny choices. It's very funny to me that, like, Giannis will not put James Harden on this team. Is he still holding on to the beef of when James Harden said all he does is run and dunk? He's 7 feet tall. Running and dunking is awesome, but I mean, there are so many other choices for Klay Thompson as well, I think. But, you know, Klay's got four titles, so understandable. Evan Fournier, the floating meringue of the NBA, as the shooting guard for the international team is pretty funny. But for an international shooting guard, who else are you picking?
Do you have any?
Shea, maybe. Shea. Jamal Murray, maybe, though they kind of straddle the line between point guard and shooting guard. But I guess Luka does as well. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's definitely the hardest one to pick, international shooting guard, finding the right player there. But Evan Fournier is a hilarious choice.
Well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This was probably recorded before Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had an incredible run here.
Think so?
I think so as well. Yeah, because there was a clip a couple weeks ago, I think, at least a week ago, where from this same YouTube short, what is it called? The YouTube
How
video.
Hungry Are You?
How Hungry Are You? Yeah. Where Serge asked him, are you going to play for Giannis or are you going to play for the Bucks? I can't talk. Are you going to play for the Raptors before your career is over?
Right.
And Giannis just put his head in his hands and said, why are you doing this to me, man? Because he didn't want to be asked that.
Just feed me some bull penis, man. Stop asking me questions about the Raptors.
Yeah.
That's a reference that will make sense to some of you.
Yeah.
Clip it.
Anyway.
Clip it, please.
No dunks on the contract.
No dunks, no OC. Anyway, this was before Shea Gilgeous-Alexander went off.
Okay.
And also,
I think
Evan
he forgets
Fournier.
Canadian players are international, too. People
That's
do
true.
That.
Yeah. Well, he may not even think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is Canadian. Let's be honest here. But Evan Fournier, he can cook an international ball.
Sure, he can cook an international ball.
Did you see what he did to USA in the 2019 World Cup in the quarterfinals? Right, he took them out. So maybe he's galaxy brain. You're going to go at Evan Fournier because you don't think he's a good defensive player, but this guy can eat you. When he puts France on his jersey, on the front of his jersey, he's a monster.
Yeah.
And also, like, Clay, yeah, there's so many options.
Devin Booker would have to be in the mix. Does he can even go Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy. Does Tatum count, I guess?
Tatum.
Anybody. But, yeah.
Okay.
Clay's a respect pick. He's a respect. Giannis is respectful.
It's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about when he did this. That's fair.
That was a while
fair.
Back, I think.
All right. Our next one. Moving on here. HBO has released the first trailer for Shaq. That's all caps locked. A four-part docuseries on the NBA Hall of Famer's life and career. It releases November 23rd, so it's coming up. Here's a short clip.
I want to be known as one of the greats.
Meet Shaquille O'Neal.
What's up, baby?
My mama always used to say,
something special about that one.
Take you back, 13 years old, 6'9". There was a guy who says, you're 6'9", you can't dunk. I give him the beat down of his life. When a father's quizzing his son on great big men of the game, hopefully Shaquille O'Neal's name would be in the answer.
All right, so that was a very small taste of, I believe, the 2.5-minute trailer for this docuseries. Are you up or down on the upcoming 4-part Shaq docuseries on HBO?
Of course I'm up. It's Shaquille O'Neal. I had flashbacks of Shaq coming into our studio in Studio V, this little studio. He didn't have to come in there. He didn't have to do what we asked him to do, but JD was directing him to essentially sing this dumb wedgie song that we asked him to do, and he destroyed it. And I say that because...
You think we're in the dock?
Yeah, absolutely. Not a chance, but I just think he's going to bring it. You know, even testimonials, we saw him sitting in that chair. When he's being interviewed, I think he'll bring that. Like, just get the prompter off him. That's what I actually saw, the clip of him doing the Hall of Fame speech where he's reading a prompter. That ain't Shaq.
Right.
Get out of there.
Unfiltered.
Too much prompter. Maybe a point about dad's interviewing their best. But he shouldn't have been reading, going back. Now I'm producing his Hall of Fame speech. But anyways,
Do you think we're going to learn anything new from this, though, in all honesty? I feel like we know a lot about Shaquille O'Neal. Like, anything from this trailer I saw... I was like, yeah, we knew that. We knew about Sergeant Harrison. You know, we knew about his coming up and all that. Like, I'm just curious. Will we get anything new? And does that matter to you, TK?
It doesn't totally matter to me. Because I'm actually up on this as well. Because it's Shaq. Yeah. And will we learn anything new? Maybe not, but we're old, you know? Young people will learn things new about Shaq. Because they think he's just a guy who sits on the desk and says, you got to go out there and dominate. You know why he says that? Because Shaq went out there and dominated. Yeah, like, that's going to be the thing. Is this going to bring back post-up basketball? Let's hope so. I did like the line where he's like, yeah, I was that tall. I just want to be rich. So maybe we will learn some things about Shaq. I'm actually kind of interested in the business side of things that we'll get into. But yeah, I mean, I've said a million times, not everything in sports needs a documentary. Shaq does. Yeah. Shaq deserves it, for sure.
100%. Yeah, the business aspect is interesting because, as Wade said in the doc, as Rick Fox and his hair said in the doc, he said that Shaq told them that don't just, you know, be a spokesman. Own the brand. Be the brand.
Yeah, yeah.
Be the general. You know, have a piece of the brand.
Own the printer.
Yeah, so.
Own the pizza store.
What does he print?
He's got a printer. For sure. I've seen the commercials. I don't know what it is, but he's got one. Tell you that.
And he never said that to us at Turner.
I think it's an Epson.
So there's if he is an Epson, if he's a spokesman for Epson, then he owns a part of Epson because he's not dumb.
No.
He's smart, and that's, you know.
Am I right?
Yeah. He's got an Epson.
Yeah, so his face is all over it, but as he told other NBA players, don't just lend your face out there. Negotiate and be a part of the brand. That's smart advice.
Hell yeah.
And so I would like to hear about that. I think as far as business people and that were NBA players, who is better? Obviously Jordan destroyed it, but this is different. Like he's a brand of, like, we just named five different guys. Like, he put his fingers in everything. I think it's that the business part's going to be super interesting, and even the basketball part, I think.
Oh, just watching Shaq highlights. Sign us up.
I can't wait to see, like, 13-year-old Shaq playing against other 13-year-olds. Yeah. That's going to be – old Shaq is going to be hilarious to see.
Yeah, hopefully there's some Shaq clips. Yeah. Because, like he said in the – in the trailer here, somebody told him he was overrated, and he said, I'm going to punch you in the face. And when Shaq says that, oh, he's really going to punch somebody in the face, especially because it's the 90s. So hopefully there's some footage of some punching in the face. Because I think there's potential there. I don't think we know everything. And the I want to be rich stuff, we don't know the DJ stuff. Like, there's good stuff in there. There's no Kobe stuff, which I thought was unfortunate, but maybe he's not touching that whatsoever.
Well, in the trailer.
In the trailer.
Yeah, but that, you've got to imagine there's some Kobe-related stuff. Oh, who knows?
I don't know.
Four parts, though. There's a lot to fill there. I assume it's basically 4 hours long. So that's coming soon, that's November 23rd. Well, what are we doing? We're just going to sprinkle it into our shows the day after those episodes air? Or are we doing a full-on film session for the Shaq docuseries? That's a tough one.
I could see maybe doing a full-on film session for the entirety
of it. Okay,
or a sprinkle. I guess we'll see how they go.
All right. Yeah. Let's see what the buzz is.
Yeah, let's see what the buzz is, the Shaq buzz.
Okay. Only Epson. As people are saying.
This guy loves printing. Oh, yeah. He just loves it. Everybody knows that about Shaq.
Well, he's got to print all those insurance documents from the general. The guy's always on his ass.
Always filing paperwork.
Oh, man. We're still printing insurance cards. I'm so done with
it. Oh, it's dumb. You're right.
I got nap dogs.
Do you have a printer in your house? You do. You definitely do.
It's a good investment.
It is. I mean, it's the number one, like... When you don't have a printer, it's the biggest pain in the ass.
Yes.
Because you got to hope you know somebody that you can then send it to, and then you got to go pick it up. Or you've actually got to go to, like, do they even have print shops still?
I guess. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they do. Like business centers and stuff.
Go to Kinko's.
Office Depot.
Yeah, I hate it. Unfortunately, we do need printers. That's the problem. We still need printers. We shouldn't need printers at this point.
Right.
But we still do.
All right.
Why hasn't somebody done, like, a 3D print of Shaq? Like,
it's a lot of ink or a lot of
stuff.
Filament. I don't know.
Nice word.
Yeah. All right. Next one here. This one's a little interesting. If and when the NBA does expand in a few years, it's expected that Seattle and Las Vegas are first in line for teams. Seattle brings back the Sonics. And, well, LeBron's interested in possibly a Vegas team. The NBA, however, acknowledged to Mark Spears at Antscape that Mexico City could be a potential NBA expansion site too. Quote, there's no doubt that Mexico City would have to be one of the cities that would be in consideration. That's from NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum telling Antscape. He noted the city already has a world-class basketball facility, and traveling is not really an issue with its location to, obviously, a bunch of the western southern states and stuff like that. So up or down on NBA expansion in Mexico City, Trey?
I think Mexico City is a good place for it. So I will go up on that. As is mentioned in this story, Mexico City is the sixth largest city in the entire world. New York City, the biggest market in the NBA, is 41st in the world. So there's a huge, huge city right there with an NBA-ready arena. And they're already playing G League games there, the Capitans.
Yep.
So I kind of think, let's see how this experiment goes. They seem to have a solid fan base. And we've seen NBA teams go and play, you know, one-off games there, two-off games, that kind of stuff. So I think as long as the experiment goes well, it's a good place to be looking forward to. As an expansion choice, I don't necessarily think we need to expand right now. I would maybe still have Mexico City behind Vegas and Seattle for choices, but I love the pitch that they're making that basically a team in Mexico City would become Mexico's team, just like the Raptors are Canada's team.
Yeah.
You know, the Raptors and the Grizzlies debuted almost 3 decades ago. 3 decades later, we now have incredible basketball talent coming out of Canada. You would have to imagine the same thing would happen in Mexico. So it totally makes sense, but... Let's pump the brakes a little. I don't think we need to expand quite yet.
What do you think?
Yeah, a lot of layers to it. Not only would it increase the level of players in Mexico, but all of Latin America, and they've done that with the Capitans. They've put a lot of Latin American players on the team, along with guys like Jahlil Okafor and a lot of American talent, Mason Jones. It is a great opportunity. We know the NBA, having covered it for so long, always looking at international opportunities. And they were down there looking at the prospects of putting the G League team in there, and Eduardo Nájera leading the way down there as you know, the Mexican players play the most minutes and being a part of this endeavor, said, let's get a team down here. And they said, ding, yeah, that's the light bulbs went off. Yeah, that makes sense. It's not that far. I was Googling flight times from over about 3:45 from here, from Atlanta, where we are right now. There's it's not crazy far for a lot of places. I will say there'll probably be a reluctance for players to go there at first, I think. Some players.
What do you think? For safety reasons? Well,
I think just the first players were reluctant to go to Toronto in Canada because it's a quote-unquote other country.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is a country where English isn't the primary language. I think that would be a bit of a hesitancy for players. I think that would be somewhat of an issue, but it's the Capitans' experiment here is important. They just started playing there, and I think you have to get some time there for players to understand that it ain't that far. Really, it's not that far. It's not that difficult. And yeah, just to have those players go through that, live there and be there and go through it. It's just reality, I think. I think there would be some reluctance. We remember the Raptors days. Antonio Davis didn't want his son learning about kilometers, speed limits in kilometers rather than miles per hour. So
it took people a while to realize Toronto is a world-class city just like Mexico City. I mean, that might be, unfortunately, might be a slow play, but Trey said it. I mean, it's a huge, huge, massive city. It's a massive country in terms of population, but they have the arena here. They have the G League in place. They're going to see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Location is not an issue really at all, and they've proven there's some strong interest in the league. I think they're going to be playing like their 31st game here when the Heat play the Spurs in the regular season game coming up over the last couple of years. Like, they've been there a while is my point.
They've been
doing these games for a long time. And those games, like, you know, this last one sold out in like 2 or 3 days. So there's obviously a demand to go see NBA talent.
Yeah, and as Trey said, a city with 22 million people, it should sell out all the time.
I would think so.
And Mark Tatum, deputy commissioner, said, it's an NBA-ready venue. He pointed this out. It also has a helipad on the roof.
I saw that.
What? This was a fascinating article on Inscape. I would like to know why he pointed that out. What does it matter?
Get to the game very quickly. Beat traffic easily.
Good point.
I guess. I mean, there are probably some traffic issues in a city with 22 million people.
I would think so.
But it has the suites and the hospitality areas that every arena needs in today's NBA, according to Mark Tatum. And Trey brings up a good point about Vegas, Seattle. I've never really wanted to dilute the talent in the NBA even more by putting two teams into the mix, but it feels like you can now. It feels like we could fill a couple more teams.
Probably.
At some point.
Look, Seattle has to be first in line for expansion. I think that's most people agree with that. And then it comes down to do you think Vegas should be ahead of a Mexico City or some other team in the States? That's up to you to decide. People pointing out in the stream team, fascinated to see if the Capitans and this G League team in Mexico City, if they have a huge home court advantage playing at some 2,000 feet above Denver's altitude. That Mexico City is way above the sea level. Like, it's like 7,500 feet or something.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the players. It may have been Jahlil Okafor. Somebody was sitting out because he was having difficulty dealing with the altitude.
So that's, fair. I mean, that's real.
But
and you have to see how it deals.
They do have sports there. They do have sports leagues.
So it's
different. It would be different. But, home court advantage.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm up on it. Because I really want to go to Mexico City, and this would very encourage me to go even more.
Didn't you want to go to an F1 race? Was that
sure. I mean, Graydon talks very fondly of Mexico City. He says it's amazing. Food
I'm sure
alone.
It is.
I mean, oh, Jesus. So, get a team there.
Let's go. Our man Carlos in the Turner Studios was talking about it. I'd love to be there. What about the disrespect to the Vancouver area? What about the Grizzlies?
There's a new documentary on that, The Grizzly Truth.
Yeah.
That's not on HBO yet, but it should be. Yeah.
What's it on?
I don't know. Oh. I think it just they just had it at a film show.
Sure.
What's a film?
Festival?
Festival, TIFF? Thank you. Yeah. Not TIFF, but it was a...
VIFF?
That's good. I haven't seen it yet. I want to watch it. But it's basically about Stu Jackson shitting the bed and that it should have obviously succeeded.
Yeah. So
it was poor ownership.
I know it's not Seattle in terms of history, but they made mistakes.
Yeah.
And... if Vancouver wants one, if they want one, if there's an ownership group that wants one,
why
shouldn't they get one?
Yeah, I guess it's the weird part is we got to get one in Seattle first, and it's so close. Like, that's a pretty close location wise. Does it matter? The two different countries, probably not. But
I don't know.
They're right there, a couple hours away.
Well, okay. Oh. Vegas is also. It's not close.
It's not 2 or 3 hours away, is my point.
What's the difference? I don't get it.
Well, I guess you put a team back in Seattle, you're going to have a hell of a lot of people coming down from Vancouver to maybe support the team as well. Mm-hmm. Are you going to dilute it too much if you put them two at the exact same time? I don't know. I have no idea.
We're not urban planners.
I don't know how high the sea level is in Mexico City. I'm guessing. I'm believing people that I don't know in the street. I'm taking them as fact. This could be fake news for all I know. No, it's very high. I do know that.
No, sea level in Mexico City is the same as anywhere else. It's how high above sea level.
Well, there you go. There you go. The Grizzly Truth is coming to streaming platforms in 2023. It's from our guy, Jerome.
Nice.
I think you just went and saw it.
Yep.
So theatrical releases are coming. Okay?
Cool.
Okay. Next one. On the latest episode of his Please Don't Aggregate This podcast, whoops, Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, he discussed trade possibilities surrounding Bojan Bogdanovic, despite his recent extension with the Pistons, and two of the teams that Fisher mentioned as still having interest in Bogey were the Lakers and the Suns. So up or down, the question is, on the Pistons, like, actively looking, I guess, to move Bogdanovic here, let's say at a trade deadline, or in the immediate future, to either of those teams or another team, if you have in mind, up or down?
I think it has to be a decent package. I don't think it's just a, hey, let's get rid of him type of guy now with the Pistons. So as far as from the Pistons' perspective, I think you wait it out. Somebody's going to come with a good package. As far as the Lakers go,
what do you want in that package? Are you just talking a pick or like a young prospect?
A nice pick.
Okay.
Not just a okay pick. Yeah, I'm looking for a good pick.
You mean like a first round pick?
I assume that's what he
okay.
means.
Okay. Well, no, I would classify it further. A bad team with a first round pick.
Oh,
they're not going to do it. In that case, I think you could get a mid pick. I think you could get a middle first round pick. But if I'm the Pistons, I'm with Tass. I would say yes, we're open to trading him, but the price is very high. Like, you got to meet that price because right now, Bojan Bogdanovic is leading the Pistons in scoring. He's at 20 points per game. 50-40-90, basically, from the field, and having zero effect on wins. So what's the point in trading him? It's not like you're going to get worse,
right,
and suddenly your team is going to be better positioned for Victor Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. But Bogdanovic also helps a team like the Lakers, like the Suns. He would fit in perfectly with those kind of teams, but just make him pay up. I doubt you're going to get a pick in the teens, but if you get a pick in the 20s for a guy that you brought in for half a season, that's totally worth it.
And that you didn't trade a pick for, what was it, Sabin Lee, Kelly Olynyk, and some cash, I think, for Bogdanovic there.
Yeah.
So it's the timing of it. You got to strike when the iron's hot here from Weaver and the Pistons side of things, if they want to, to maybe get a first round pick.
Yeah.
What about this? What about them, the Pistons being the team that trades for Russell Westbrook, but gets a pick in return for Bogdanovic, Burks, and Nerlens Noel? Added up, I think that gets you to a Westbrook type of contract. But then, instead of demanding two first-round picks in that case, you'd be asking for the one that maybe Pelinka and the Lakers are more likely to do. Hmm?
Yeah, listen, I've seen that deal going around, and that's why I think the Pistons could get a good first-round pick, because the Lakers could be good. It's, you know, it's taking it's taking a risk whether or not it's going to be good in 27 or 29, one that they can trade. But the Lakers seemingly will be willing to give up one pick. They don't want to give it up for – they don't want to give up two for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. Bojan would help them win, but they got to do it now.
Yes. Also true.
They've got this little stretch here where they're playing some bad teams, but sitting at, 3-11, they have to make – or they're 3-10?
Well, 10, yep.
Yeah,
3-10.
I guess I just assume they're going to lose every game. But they've got to trade for him right now. And it's unfortunate that every guy who's on the market, we all think, oh, well, the Lakers want him? It's in my brain.
Yeah.
I think it slipped into Trey's brain earlier. We were talking about James Wiseman. You said
totally.
The Lakers. Oh, man, I'm tired of it. Just make a trade. Make a trade. Are they not going to go for it? Are they just going to sit there with this roster? So it's either the Pacers, or it feels like the Pistons. Bojan Bogdanovic would be awesome.
Yeah.
Besides,
but he's like, Bogdanovic is like, you can put him on almost any roster.
Yeah.
And you can sort of slot him in. And yeah, he's getting a lot more opportunity with a team like the Lakers.
Yeah.
Need guys, and especially shooting. But you really could see him on any roster. I could see him on the on the Suns as a possibility there if there's something to be worked out. I know Fisher also talked to me, and this isn't about Bogdanovic, but the idea of like the Bucks trying to trade for Jay Crowder from the Suns, who's not going to be returning. Zach Grayson Allen or something like that? Are they swapping there? But maybe it's Bogdanovich that the Suns are more interested in. I think the Pistons would be wise, if I'm being honest, though, to, if they can get a first-round pick, to do that. Because he's not a part of their future. And they're not winning games either. So it's not like, oh, geez, they're in the play-in race here. Like, they're not going to be. It's totally fine. We talked about Cade's, his development, and all the rookies getting burned and all that. But, man, if they could just flip really, which was nothing, into a first-round pick for him, that's slick GMing right there, mm-hmm. if they can pull it off. And they might, the way he's playing. That's the thing.
Danny's going to be angry. Danny Ainge and the Utah Jazz didn't get a first-round pick for Boyan. He was happy to get Kelly Olynyk, and hey, who's to question Danny with the way the Jazz are playing? They're balling. But
is there another GM in the league that we call by his first name more than Danny Ainge?
Masai.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Good counter.
But we don't say it nearly as much as Danny. Danny.
It's always Danny. I love Danny. Saying Danny. No, I can't think of anybody else. Yeah. Brad Stevens.
Daryl.
Troy Weaver.
No.
But what about Bogdan Bogdanovich? Also an option.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
We've discussed five Williams on the teams. What would be amazing if you get five Bogdanoviches on a team.
Good luck. Keep dreaming, man. Keep dreaming.
I'm dreaming about that one day.
All right, final one here. I mentioned this yesterday, but the Sacramento Kings, they do have a light, or they light up, excuse me, a purple beam outside the Golden One Center every time the team wins a game. I wanted to show you guys this. It's the Kings Victory Beam. It was announced and debuted on 9/16 Day. As a way for the team to increase fan engagement and further deepen the connection to the city. They do this for home and road wins. So they light that up. I guess it's four purple laser beams shooting up into the sky. Are you up or down on the King's victory beam? Trey Kirby.
I'm up, baby.
Yeah, I like this.
Fire the beam. What do they say?
Well, like, what do they Herder say when they has win come a game up here? With, we're the beam team.
I like that. I do mean, like the beam team.
Like, right?
Beam it. I don't know what you say, but it is a cool thing to energize the city, you know?
Beam it up.
beam it up. When you're putting on sunscreen, you say cream it up. But when you win a game in Sacramento, you say beam it up. The Cubs fly a W flag over Wrigley Field when they win a game. They've been doing that for 100 years. They've flown the flag about 100 times. But the Kings, I think this could work. It's cool. It looks awesome. And, you know, firing a light into the sky. It's light pollution, but it's okay.
Pilots,
it's okay, yeah. A pilot maybe is down on this, but I'm all right with it.
What do you think? I think, don't the Angels do something in baseball, like a halo or something? They light? I think they light something, too, after a win.
I don't know. If they get Trey Turner, they're going to be lighting it up, that's for sure.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know about the Angels, but you said there's four beams coming together?
I think it's four beams, yeah. That's a pretty powerful looking light.
Yeah, it looks like one.
That looks Photoshopped to me, but that's real. You know?
It does look like a lightsaber. You know, like it looks like extremely powerful. So
you like
yes,
it?
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
How far away can you see it? That's like I'd be interested to know that.
I don't know, but they're probably
all the way from the Cow Palace.
Yeah,
from Mexico City, probably.
What do you think? This is like the Kings are like. It was like the Braves games way back in the day, airing all across the states. So a lot of people that live in like Illinois are Braves fans.
That's right.
Kirby,
that's right,
perfect
yeah.
example. This is them. Thinking like this is galaxy brain thinking here. The rest of the universe, the rest of the galaxy, subliminally turning them into Kings fans when they show up to Earth. That they will have a team. What do you think? I'm high as shit.
What do you
right
think?
Now.
Man tried CBD gummies for the first time. He's going crazy.
I think that's what they're doing.
You were right, though.
They got to get the alien. They got to get Wembanyama.
Oh, no, that'd be cool. He's probably taller than the beam.
sorry, you were about to say something.
Yeah, Anaheim Angels do light up their halo on their big A, which gave rise to the catchphrase, light that baby up. You're going to have to come up with a catchphrase, Kings. Beam me up.
I mean, beam team's good. Hashtag
beam team.
Beam
team is great, yeah.
Light the beam. Fire the lasers! Do that. Oh, they're breaking tees. Already got a t-shirt for this. I don't know if you can buy this yet.
Okay, fire the lasers is pretty good, actually.
There it is.
The victory beam.
All right, just keep winning, Kings. We want to see the beam, baby. The full beam instead of full beans.
Full beams. Go 82-0.
Let's hear from everybody out there, up or down on all five of those questions. We've got to take one more break. When we come back, pick them results and tweet of the night.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory, Melvin, not Marvin the Martian, agrees with my theory that the Kings and their beam are trying to recruit aliens to be NBA fans, because he says aliens are going to be coming to Earth wearing Doug Christie and Scott Pollard jerseys. And then Coyote Jester, here in the stream team, says, just get Scott Pollard to have something to do with lighting the beam so you can say, beam me up, Scotty.
I love it.
That's great.
Call him up. Put him on the roof.
Also, Jules Evelyn chimes in with, Simsimra, who got the keys to my beam?
Ooh. let's hope they don't lose the keys to lighting the beam. They are at home, I think, giving the honor to, like, probably a Scott Pollard or like somebody from the Kings organization to light it up. So I wonder. I haven't seen how they do it. Do they do like a? You know, like, that'd be fun.
That would be awesome.
I haven't seen that part.
Like a game ball. Like whoever has the best game gets to light the beam.
I love this. That. I'm all in on this idea. This is fantastic.
I think they have to make up a way to light the beam, like because otherwise it's boring. It's probably just pushing a button.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta totally fabricate.
Put the clapper on it. Just lights up. All right, pick'em results from last night. Oh, Tassie, my man. You took the Toronto Raptors.
Well, yeah, of course I did.
Yeah, because you're a Raptors fan,
you should. I'm from there.
But
won. Don't go there.
They won, but they did not cover. And you are continuing to struggle here in the month of November. You're 2-7.
Yes.
TK and I, we took Detroit to cover because they had some points to play with. They lost by, what, 4 in the end? But they were +5.5 dogs. So another win for you and me, TK. I'm 7-2. You're 5-4. What's tonight's game? It's like 5 games on tonight?
Yeah, it felt like a win for me anyway. The Raps getting the job done. But yeah, 5 games this evening. Some good ones. Clippers rested Paul George, going up against the Dallas Mavericks. Knicks, Jazz, Blazers, Spurs, and then the TNT doubleheader. Grizzlies, Pelicans, a juicy one. It wasn't on the board when I was looking this morning, I should say. But then the Nets and the Kings was on the board.
Oh, light it up!
Here's the beamer. I knew you guys would be taking the Kings. Oh, so excited for the beamer.
I love laser beams.
So I took the Nets. We'll see what happens.
All right. Wow. Small line here. Kings favored by 1.5. Got to win by 2 points or more. TK, it's working for us. Sticking together, man. We're rolling.
That's exactly why I picked it. I was like, sorry, Tass, I'm fading right now.
I know, so
fading
am
right
I.
Now, like that beam.
I didn't
beam
even. Up, I saw Tass had Brooklyn. I put immediately the opposite team. Like, when you're cold, you're cold. I've been there. So, we got the Kings and the beams going up tonight. All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Tweet of the night, only kind of a tweet. Luckily, I did see some of these tweets going around last night and today, but it was a Run TMC takeover in Golden State last night for their game against the Spurs. So they had Tim, Mitch, and Chris on the call, and Tom Tolbert working the sidelines. And when he got to doing his sideline interviewing the coaches, he had one very specific question to ask them. Here's what he asked Greg Popovich.
What's your favorite animal?
sea otter. Big fan when they roll themselves up in kelp.
Yeah.
How about when they get the stone out and knock that shell in the
stone? That's the best part. It stays right on their belly.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's how I eat my dinner.
Big fan of when they roll themselves up in kelp?
That's a fascinating response.
That's the only time that question has ever been asked. But honestly, shout out to Tom Tolbert for having a sea otter fact just chambered.
Yeah.
He just knows they roll themselves up in kelp. So yeah, that was funny. That was between the first and second quarter.
Okay.
You interview the road coach. In between the third quarter and the fourth quarter, he interviewed the home coach. So later on, Tom Tolbert was asking Steve Kerr. He started out with a basketball question, and Steve Kerr was upset. He's like, you're asking me a basketball question? So then, of course, he asked him about his favorite animal.
What's your favorite animal?
My English cream retriever, Lulu. Not even close.
Okay, other than your pet.
Dog.
Just like
dogs, dogs. I'm a dog guy.
He's a dog guy.
Tolbert's pissed. He has a brutal answer.
You can't say your pet.
Dogs.
He's furious.
Other than your pet. So I guess, did Kerr know that Popovich got asked a random question?
Must have. Like, must have seen it at halftime.
Maybe.
Or just like, he knows Tolbert's crazy zany guy.
Stop talking about, okay.
Yeah.
Tolbert likes to ask about animals. It's his thing.
I mean, it was a chunky lead. Yeah. It was a chunky lead at halftime, so maybe they watched the clip. You know, somebody pulled Steve Kerr over. You got to see this.
Sea otters wrapped in kelp.
Sea otters is a really good answer.
That was a great answer.
I'm almost disappointed I have that sea otters t-shirt that I sometimes wear. I wish I wore it today.
Would you say a sea otter is your favorite animal?
I don't think my favorite, but I do find them very playful and very cute, and they're smart. And
of course, you love it when they wrap themselves up in kelp.
Of course. When they use the clam
food
on
their belly.
Yeah.
Eat my dinner.
So many different types of otters out there. A sea otter. Why isn't it just an otter? But there's river otters. There's land otters.
There's land otters?
I guess.
That's ridiculous.
That's what it
air
says
otters.
On Google. Air otters, yeah.
Watch
space otters.
Space otters.
Space Odyssey. They're coming here. They're coming here to beat Kings fans. All those otters.
Wow. Space otters.
That's good.
A David Bowie cover band, but they're all wearing otter costumes.
Brilliant. All right. Let's call it there. That's a fun tweet of the night.
Yeah.
I know some people are saying in the stream team about the broadcast TMC there on the call. I feel like we might see them in Worst of the Week, possibly a little bit later for some unfortunate word choice there from one of them. We'll get to that on Friday. Okay, later today, no buffs with Trey and Graydon. No, what happened?
No breaks.
Why did we name all the shows the exact fucking same thing is what I want to know. No buns, no buffs, no breaks. No chance at getting it right. No breaks. The F1 podcast with Trey and Graydon, breaking down the Brazilian GP. I got worried for a second that you guys got pushed it or something, but I did say no buffs. It's in my notes. I wrote it down. I got Survivor on the brain. I think we're getting a banger of a Survivor episode this week.
Big up. Two
Big
vote
up.
Outs.
Two people going home.
Two vote outs. Going
to be a lot to talk about. But that's on Thursday when we do that show. No breaks coming up later today. It's on YouTube feed. It's on podcast feed. And man, the fallout from this Brazilian GP. Oh boy. I can't wait to hear you guys break this down. So. Something to look forward to a little bit later today. Thank you so much to everybody joining us here live in the stream team. Hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't, shared the show. Send in your questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. We could hit the beach tomorrow, answer a few cues. Not a lot of games on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Might
That's
be a great idea. So get your cues in. You still got a little bit of time. Until tomorrow, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Wow. Don't ask us about how many species of dolphins there are. I can't believe this. Guess how many types of dolphins there are, species of dolphins. It's going to be high because I said, guess how many.
45?
Yeah. How'd you know? 42. Between
40, I was like, what?
Between 40 and 50. Like, how many is it? If you don't know, then you don't know. Is it 40 or is it 45? We can't just make these things up. Anyways, there's a lot of species of dolphins, and I see someone in the stream team saying a land otter is just a weasel. Maybe so. Maybe so. The Vancouver otters. Is that a team?
It might be a baseball team, like a minor league baseball team. I don't know.
Well, that's a good question.
Ask
we'll
Tom
answer
Tolbert,
it tomorrow.
He'll know.
What's your favorite animal before we go here?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
You want to answer tomorrow? Off the top
of
tomorrow's show.
I'm going to need to think about this.
I'm going
to
say alongside me as always tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tess Fellas. And then,
I'll say my favorite animal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, tune in tomorrow. Race the day, people.
What a tease.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.